Today's scripture reading is Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, everything he has created, everything in all his kingdom. Let all that I am praise the Lord.
Greetings, and thank you for joining us today. Our question for today, our good question that was submitted by one of you for this series is, does God's forgiveness have a limit? Will God keep forgiving us if we mess up again and again? It's a good question. And I wonder if another way of putting it would be to say, to ask if God keeps a kind of blacklist, or if God keeps a black book. To be said to be in someone's black book or bad book, as it's sometimes said, is to be considered to be out of favor in someone's view. I'm sure you've probably heard the phrase used before. It's to be listed in disrepute, to have this kind of tally of things that you've done wrong, kept, and kept against you. As a term, it was first used in the Middle Ages, when there'd be these actual books that were kept with lists of criminals and the crimes they committed and all the punishments they were due for having done those things. Over time, the term has come to mean some other things, but originally that's the sense it meant. That sense of having this low standing in someone's view on account of what you've done. So we can maybe ask, does God keep a black book? Does God have a blacklist? Is God like that? Does God's forgiveness have a limit? Would it ever come to a point where I've made just one too many mistakes in my life, at which point God lifts the pencil and looks up and sighs and gives up on me? Could it be that I just come crawling back to God one too many times and God simply shrugs and then turns away from me and says no, and that's it? Does God's forgiveness have a limit? Again, it's a good question. It's one that I think a lot of people have struggled with from time to time in their lives. And I wonder if a lot of people have struggled with it because a lot of people might keep that kind of count for themselves. They might have their own little books that they can keep hidden somewhere inside of themselves, where they keep this running total of all their regrets over the course of their days and years. For those who do, I think it can maybe feel like this ever accumulating burden or weights of guilt and shame for all these things that they've done or not done. They might keep count for themselves, and so they might well wonder, how much more would a holy God who is said to so deeply grieve and mourn these sort of things keep count? The text I've chosen for today is Psalm 103. It's this beautiful and powerful ancient poem that I believe really speaks to this question, the heart of this question. And I appreciate it being read in full. It starts and finishes with these invitations to worship. It's bookended with calls to praise God, and everything that sits in between is reason why God should be praised. The writer lifts verse after verse, one reason after another. But the overarching theme, if you are listening and reading carefully, is God's love and forgiveness. That really binds them all together. And the reason I chose this psalm in particular, as opposed to others that maybe reflect some of those similar themes, is that God's love and forgiveness is presented here as this reality that's beyond limits and beyond measurements, something that's beyond count. Here we see God's love and forgiveness described as being more expansive than any sum we could ever manage to add up. As far as the heavens are above the earth, the writer says, so great is God's love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Heavens from the earth, east from the west. In the ancient mind, and in a lot of ways in our minds still, these are distances that are simply beyond measure. They are, as one writer put it, completely unquantifiable. Later in the psalm, the writer says, from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. Everlasting to everlasting, from one generation to another, from one eternity to another, if we could ever imagine or wrap our heads around something like that. It's this love lasting longer than any number of years or centuries or millennia that could ever be stacked up in a calendar. So if we find ourselves asking that question, does God's forgiveness have a limit, and would it ever come to the point where I've just done one too many things wrong and that's it? We might come back to these words and be reminded that God's grace and mercy for us is such that it's greater than any sum or score that could ever be kept. God forgives all your sins, the psalmist writes at the start. All of them. God's forgiveness for those who come in holy fear is as total as any total that could ever be added up. He will not always accuse, the writer goes on, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. So for those of us who keep our own counts, we're led in these verses to the God who's understanding and who's compassionate. We meet, I believe, the God who gets it, the God who created us and knows that we're fallible and fragile creatures, the God who understands more than anyone else that we're made of dust, as the writer says in one of these lines, that we're like fumbling and yet no less beloved children, as they say in another. In this psalm, we meet the God who, in receiving us in faith, no longer keeps count. So again, for those of us who keep our own little books, where we log our lists of failures, there's a deep relief and a deep hope and freedom to be found here. The second thing I'll say is that I wonder if we might also sometimes come to this question of whether we have a set of chances with God after which we're just done, because also often our forgiveness towards others as humans is like that. We might worry about whether God is like that towards us because we can also be like that towards others. Because also often we keep these lists of people who've done us wrong. We keep these lists of the things that have been done wrong to us and carry those pages with us and clutch them so often so tightly between our fingers. Which I believe gets to a really interesting and important points. That's that some of the hardest and harshest words in Scripture are not about whether or not we'll receive forgiveness from God for what we've done, but instead are about whether we'll be willing to extend forgiveness to others for what they've done towards us. That, after all, is what we pray with the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who've sinned against us. You'll remember that Jesus added these other words to the end of it to make his points just abundantly clear. He said, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, God will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, God will not forgive your sins. So perhaps we might do well to be more concerned about the bad books and blacklists that we might be keeping, where we might be logging the names of others, than the ones that we fear God's might have for us. If you're concerned about whether God might be keeping counts, you should consider thinking about and doing the work of dealing with the ways that you keep counts in your life. This is precisely what Jesus talked about when he told the parable of the unmerciful servant. Probably remember it. It's the story about a worker who ends up buried in this unimaginable load of debt. There's no way he could ever in his lifetime or beyond pay it back. And so he pleads with his master to have patience, give him time. And his master, we're told, has pity and decides to forget about everything he owes. And then the servant whose massive loan has just been canceled turns around and runs into a friend of his who owes him what amounts to pocket change in comparison and demands that it be repaid immediately, and then reacts furiously when he can't do it. It's this ironic and really hilarious scene. It's also meant to be cutting and convicting. It gets at that same point. In Christ, we meet the God who does not keep counts, who tells us that the slate has been cleared and that nothing is left owing and nothing will be held against us. But then we so often and end up turning and trudging around and marking up our little pages and tallying up all the wrongs and wounds we've been dealt by others, kind of bitterly penciling in all the names of those who've hurt us, all the ways that they owe us and what they ought to be dealt in turn for having done them. Which all leads to the very important question, the question I've chosen for my title today. That's, who's keeping counts here? Seriously. Jesus told this parable, you might remember, after Peter asked him a question. A good question, a question that sounds similar to the one that this person from our church asked and submitted, except that our forgiveness and not God's is in focus this time. Peter asked Jesus, should our forgiveness have limits? Should we keep forgiving others if they keep messing up? And if so, how many times? If someone continues to do me wrong, he says, should I forgive them up to 7 times? Peter, you might know, is trying to impress Jesus here. He thinks he's being generous. Peter knew that most rabbis taught that 3 times was the limit for showing mercy to a repeat offender. So Peter was trying to posture himself before Jesus as someone who is especially compassionate, especially forgiving. But Jesus throws him for a loop. You should forgive him up to 77 times, Jesus says. Other translations do the math differently and say 490 times or 70 times 7. Either way, the number is just ridiculous. It's hyperbolic, it's symbolic. Jesus is telling Peter and telling us as well to stop keeping counts, to come back for a minute and remember the sheer enormity of God's grace towards us and surrender all the silly sums that we're so determined to keep, to let go of our little numbers. Jesus says to toss out the book. Scratch out the list. He tells Peter to forgive and forgive again, as long as forgiveness is sincerely sought. The end of the story you'll remember, bears a warning, right? That same warning that comes from Jesus with the Lord's Prayer. If you are worried about whether God's forgiveness might have limits, you might consider thinking about whether yours does. We might do well, in other words, to ask ourselves, who is really keeping counts here? I don't know about you, but this is hard, even in the best of circumstances. These days when we're dealing with multiple crises and layers and layers of stress, I find myself often getting upset and frustrated at the smallest of things. Just like the servant in the story who's furious about pocket change. So Jesus invites us to remember the immense scale of God's forgiveness towards us. And consider showing forgiveness towards others for the things that are so very small in comparison. There are, of course, all sorts of caveats and disclaimers that could be added here. Just because God embraces the penitent and brokenhearted over and over, doesn't mean that we get a free pass to live however he wants. We know that some of the earliest Christians thought that it meant that they could. They were so overwhelmed and excited by this new freedom and forgiveness that they found in Jesus that they really began to abuse it. And so Paul had to rein them in and to caution them, to caution the Christians in Rome, for example, saying, should you go on sinning so that grace will increase? And then telling them, by no means. Just because we believe God will forgive again and again doesn't mean that we should go ahead and repeatedly do things that anger or upset God, and that end up wounding ourselves and others in the world. This is a relationship, after all, and that's not how healthy relationships work. I believe instead that the closer we get to the heart of God's love and mercy, the more truly and deeply we experience that in our lives, the more we'll seek to move towards right living as God sets it out for us. The wideness of God's forgiveness, as we read about it here, also doesn't mean that there won't be consequences for our actions. Just because we believe in the ultimate sense that they won't be counted against us doesn't mean that we won't be held accountable or have to take accountability for what we've done. It doesn't mean that we don't need to acknowledge or own up to what we've done or work towards making it right. It doesn't render confession unnecessary or that mean that we don't have to be concerned about reconciliation. Just because Jesus challenges us to stop keeping counts, to toss out our books and to forgive, it doesn't mean we should remain in destructive or harmful situations. It doesn't mean that abuse or violence or oppression towards others can in some way be justified just because we believe that they ought to likewise forgive us for what we've done. Does God's forgiveness have a limit? Will God keep forgiving again and again and again? I know that sometimes when people ask this sort of question, they're often thinking about a few specific verses in Scripture, verses that talk about continual or intentional or repetitive sin or forms of sin against the Holy Spirit. My response has often been when they ask about this that it's a good question. And if you're asking it and struggling with it, that's a good sign. I think that what's described there instead is when one's spirit becomes so calloused, one's heart becomes so hardened or numb, or one's life becomes so closed and constricted that God's grace is no longer sought at all. So again, it's a good question in more ways than one. If you're asking it, it's a good thing. It reflects a heart that's broken by our own brokenness and longs in a really good and true way for a life of wholeness with God. God redeems your life from the pits, the writer of Psalm 103 tells us, and crowns you with love and compassion. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. As far as the east is from the west, we read again, as far as the heavens are above the earth, God's love extends. From everlasting to everlasting, it carries on. It's far more reaching, more far-reaching than any figure we could ever imagine. It's completely beyond count. It's vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, as the old hymn goes. Or in the words of another song that we've chosen for the service today and heard at the start, we may fail 1,000 times, and yet still God's mercy remains. Love keeps no record of wrongs, Paul writes. Our God, who is love, keeps no record of wrongs for those who are in Christ Jesus. God will bring all things to account, but through Christ in whom we believe and live, they will not be counted against us. Love keeps no count. If any of you have worked as a supervisor, a manager, like I have, or have had a role in human resources, maybe you'll be acquainted with disciplinary sequences. You receive a verbal warning, a written warning, a suspension, and so on. Files and records where notes are kept and such. Or as drivers, we might think about how if we rack up enough demerit points, your license is taken away. Or these days, if people misuse social media, they'll have content flagged or receive warnings, or eventually, if it all continues, their account will be suspended. There comes this point where there's a limit, and beyond that, that's it. While it might be debated how well those things function to manage behavior, policies like that are in place for good reason. But the God we encounter in this psalm and in our lives is not like that. The God we encounter is endlessly patient. The God we encounter lovingly bears with humanity year after year, year after year. The God we encounter will continue to receive us back again and again as long as we seek it, as long as we return in repentance. In Psalm 130, we see it put like this: if you, God, kept a record of sins, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so we can serve you. Again, it's not the sense of having a get-out-of-jail-free card. It's forgiveness so that we can serve God. If God kept a black book, if God was determined to keep count, we'd all be lost. We'd all have struck out a long time ago. But in the end, we believe that God does not keep counts. That it will be that God, as the writer of Hebrews said, will remember our sins no more. So the invitation is to discover that and rediscover that and receive it and receive it again. And to likewise go and to seek to stop keeping count as well. Close with a prayer. You'll find it in the order of service, adapted from one written by Christine Longhurst. We invite you to pray with me. If you, God, kept track of all our mistakes, the harmful things we say and do, the callous ways we sometimes treat the people around us, the selfishness that puts our needs ahead of the needs of others, if, God, you kept track, what chance would we have? But with unfailing love, you offer us forgiveness, complete forgiveness that erases our sins completely and allows us to begin again. So may we be at peace today, for our sins in you have been forgiven. And may God be praised. In Jesus' name, amen.